This podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Hey, you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock the Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, RootaRooRadio.com, BuildTheScene.com/radio, and 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. My name is Bill, and with me on this episode are Stosh and Elliot from the band Max Out. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
So, for those of you that aren't familiar with Max Out, we're going to start off with those generic questions that you usually hear on the radio, and then we'll go to the more fun ones that I've dreamt up while I was bored that they claim they're already prepared for. You guys
You've
ready?
You've done our homework, Bill. You're in trouble.
We'll see. Keep in mind, I've been doing this for 14 years, so I have some I can go back a ways and ask some odd off-the-wall questions from the past.
Uh-oh. I shouldn't have said anything.
And for anyone who's listened all from the beginning, maybe I'll ask them that Jeff Whitney question, or maybe I won't. Okay, so let's start off with that generic question and let you guys tell me about where the name Max Out came from.
Well, like all great things, Bill, it all started in the basement of a pizza place. Isn't that right, Elliot?
Yeah, me and Stosh were playing a birthday party. And I was on the bass guitar. And Stosh was on the regular guitar. It was a place called Glass Nickel in Madison, Wisconsin. And they serve a most excellent pizza called a Fedalicious.
Oh, which is Fedalicious.
And the Fedalicious is a phenomenal pizza as long as you don't get the onions on it.
I think we got paid in Fedalicious pizza that night. I think we maxed out the Fedalicious pizza.
We maxed out the Fedalicious pizza. I remember because we went into this show and like all I had was like the Susan B. Anthony dollars, and I was paying my bar tab with the Susan B. Anthony dollars because I went to the post office to buy stamps, and I got like two stamps, but I paid with a 20.
Yeah, it was this vending machine. It was the only one on Earth, and it spit out Susan B. Anthony dollars at you. I remember that.
So we were just paying our bar tab with Susan B. Anthony dollars, and then it was a birthday party. And then that was Max's first show. We played a bunch of cover songs.
Kiss, Van Halen. All the good ones.
ZZ Top.
That's right. Yep. Uh-oh. I was wearing Zubas and had a Lemmy Kilmister beard. Elliot was probably just wearing a tracksuit and a smile, if I remember right.
I was wearing a Badger red tracksuit.
And the world's best smile. That's all I got to say. That's where it all began. So now I got to ask.
Earlier, he was talking about California. Now you guys are talking about Wisconsin.
That's where we met. That's where me and Elliot, the match made in heaven. That's where it all came together. It was, we were both going to school in Wisconsin. And that's when I saw this guy walk in looking like he was the most arrogant man on earth. And I was like, who's this guy? And little did I know, 10 years later, we'd be in a band together, melting people's faces. I mean, this is how the world works, I guess.
Yeah, Stosh wouldn't even talk to me. He said I looked like an asshole because I came to school.
Uh-oh.
He said I looked like a butthead.
You gotta put a Susan B. Anthony dollar in the swear jar.
He said I looked like a jerk because I was wearing a what was it?
You look like a poopy face.
I was wearing workout clothes to our orientation.
And he showed up 20 minutes late to our orientation. Like, the door opened and this guy walks in wearing workout clothes with half a sweat on. Because he's probably been just maxing out and throwing some weight around in some basement somewhere and eating a pizza.
You know, it's funny. I forgot I even asked that question until you said maxing out.
I showed up in a full... full workout attire. Everybody was wearing suits.
Yep. I had to see that.
Stoss was wearing a pinstripe suit. I was just, I didn't care. I was just wearing track pants and
I looked at him, breathable. I thought, yeah, I'm like, that guy is definitely a lead singer. He's definitely a lead singer.
And then we didn't talk. He didn't want to talk to me. I didn't want to talk to him. And then randomly we met up at a Halloween party and he was he was like, this was Stasha's first words to me ever. He's like, so your name is Elliot Pollock. Does that mean that you're Polish?
Because my name's Stash. I mean, I thought that we could bond over that.
And then I was like, well, my dad's a Pollock. And my mom's Mexican and Indian. And he's like, yeah, that explains it. And meanwhile, we're having this conversation. I'm dressed like... Eazy-E from NWA.
And I had one of those shirts on where it looks like a bikini, like the person's wearing a bikini.
Yeah.
So that was our first.
Wait a minute. We went from suits and tracksuits to fake bikini shirts.
Yeah. So that was.
What school were you guys at?
Oh, University of Wisconsin Madison.
Yeah, University of Wisconsin Madison. We managed to spend about 3 months in a class together where I had shown up late every day.
And every single day he'd show up late and he'd have one of those god-awful McDonald's iced coffees, those ones that are just an instant stomach ache. Every day he'd just roll up with one of those, sipping away on one of those. And half the time he smelled like whiskey. Then again, I knew. I'm like, that guy's going to be my lead singer. So yeah, Max Out. That's how it started in the pizza shop. The name just kind of, it continues to go with us. I mean, I actually blew up an amp at practice. It was a speaker box at practice one time, and I went to go pick it up at the shop, and they had the little fix-it ticket on top of it. And this is when I was practicing, we didn't Max Out, and the thing blew up. And I went to the shop and looked at the ticket, and the ticket said, Orange Cab, Maxed Out. I'm like, yeah, perfect. So, that was God's sign to me that the name was, you know, it was the right name to have. So
that might be the longest name story I've ever gotten.
I don't know if we ever quite answered the question either, but that's okay.
Well, it could be your amp. It could be the pizza shop. It could be the Susan B. Anthony dollars. You maxed out the machine. It could be.
Bill, I like this. I think you just need to stop this podcast thing and start managing us. We need a mouthpiece like you.
You know, I honestly had a few bands ask me that a long time ago. And I got to tell you, there's no time for that.
Dude, yeah, it's a struggle.
Tell me what music you have in your music collection.
Well, pretty much everything. I can't really narrow it down to any genres. Like, personally, I listen to a lot of doom and stoner metal. But, you know, if I'm feeling frisky, that doesn't mean I won't, like, listen to some Elton John or some, like, you know, crazy stuff from the 60s and 70s. So, and Elliot over here, he happens to be a big fan of the band Asia. And yes.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to a little bit of everything. I listen to the 80s, the 90s. I mean, vocally, I would consider myself to be, my biggest influence would be like Chris Cornell, Axl Rose, Robert Plant, you know. So I listen to a wide variety, but you know, I even listen to something you might not expect. You know, like I listen to a lot of jazz music. I like Miles Davis, Coltrane. You know, one of my favorite albums is Love Supreme. But, you know, I mix that in with a lot of 70s rock, 80s rock, 90s. I like a lot of modern stuff, too. You know, I mean, I think right now is actually an awesome time for metal and hard rock, you know. So I'm listening to a lot of Blood Incantation. Awesome band. I listen to everything from death metal to hip hop to country to blues to jazz. I'm all over the place. I mix it up. You know, the only type of music that I've never really gotten into hardcore is techno. You know, that's the type of music. But you know, I listen to a lot of punk. I've been in a punk band before. I've been in a death metal band. I've been in a black metal band. I've played every type of music there is, you know, except for I never really played any techno type of music or any hip hop, you know, per se. But, you know, I listen to a little bit of everything. So I keep it very, very diverse. I keep a diverse portfolio of my music for sure.
Yep. Sun Ra to Slipknot.
Yeah, but there is some great, really awesome stuff going on right now. Stosh has turned me on to, I've been listening to this band called Mutoid Man.
Oh, Mutoid Man's fantastic.
Yeah, awesome. So I like to get out, you know, when I talk to people, I like to tell them about the bands they might not have heard of, you know, because everybody's heard of the bands you would have heard of. But like, I mean, I've been listening to like, you know, like I said, you know, Mutoid Man is awesome. Stosh, name off a band people haven't heard of that you are into that they need to listen to.
I've been listening to a lot of Elder lately, but I mean, I think people who know the stoner metal thing will know them, but like, I think they're just a fantastic band. I think they're just absolutely excellent. But yeah, my Spotify list, like it tries to do like a shuffle and it's just basically somebody with schizophrenia, you know, because it looks through your history and it goes from everything from like, I don't know, a la country to death metal. So.
This kind of, where you guys took this question kind of leads into another question. So I'm going to ask that one. So what I want you to do is think about the bands you played with recently. And, okay. And I want you to create a all-star band. You are managing it. You're not allowed to be in it. So you have to pick somebody to play each instrument, vocalist, you know, whatever genre you want it to be. See, this is a really hard one, though, because I want you to tell me what band they're currently in, because that gives the listeners other bands to go look at. That's how you let into it. And basically, you know, it'll give me some bands to go look at as well for possibly interviewing on the show.
Gotcha.
So,
as much as I want to say a rap rock band with Donnie Iris, I'm assuming I can't go there. And I do want to take this in a direction that's not too serious.
I don't think Donnie's going to answer my emails.
You can always try. Come on, Donnie.
I will say Joe Grishecki answered an email from me once.
Oh, nice. There you go.
He told me no, but he answered it.
Hey, there you go. It's more than I can say.
Well, I'll answer seriously. I've been blessed. I've been blessed to play with some great, great musicians. And I'm going to go with, I got to play in my in a band I used to be in that broke up called the Johnny Fangers Band. We played with Doyle from the Misfits. So I'm going to go with Doyle on guitar one. I'm going to go with another band I played with called DRI, Spike Cassidy on guitar two. I'm going to go with a phenomenal Detroit band called The Strains. I'm going to take John Patrick on bass guitar. And I'm going to go with our very own Tom DeAndre on the drums.
He's the best. He's ridiculous.
He's amazing. The greatest drummer in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Tom DeAndre.
He's out there in the mountains right now, probably drinking some high ABV beer and punching a Yeti in the face.
and then on vocals I'm gonna go with punk rock legend, the late great Johnny Fangers on vocals.
The late great
the late great Johnny Fingers on vocals. So
if we got to pull it local, I'll do a quick local one. Okay. Outside Inside, we'll put Dave Wheeler on guitar. We'll put Mikey Froop from Stone Cold Killer on bass. Andrew DeCagna on vocals. He's in every band. That's awesome. Icarus Witch, Brimstone Coven, Iron Flame. He's just phenomenal. Drummers is tough. Angelo. We'll put Ange on drums. He's in Royal Honey now. He's been playing in Pittsburgh forever. He's playing every weekend for a good reason. He's great. And I'll put Creep New Holland on the other bass from 13 Saints. There, that's an all-local one.
Angelo, what's his last name?
It's escaping me right now. I want to say, like, Farrell or something? I'd have to look it up.
I know. As soon as I'm done talking to you guys, it'll pop into my head. Oh, they were, like, really well-known back then.
Really well-known. Okay, wait. Really well-known band?
Yes.
The Ange in it as the drummer.
Yeah, they, like, they...
They can win that. You know what? I think I know what band you're thinking of.
Rusted Root.
No. Like they did the guyliner and wore the platform boots and.
Molly Crew.
No, but that is what I described. See, now this has to stay.
Sebastian right. Bach.
Wow. Skid Row.
But they showed up like in character and I felt like Motley Crue was in my living room.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Two live crew.
I'm trying. The Ultimatics?
No.
Using that. They won the Graffiti Rock Challenge back in the day. That's the one I was trying to think of. It just popped into my head.
Science Fiction Idols.
Ah, okay. Yep.
That was him, right? Guys. I think that was him.
I wasn't in Pittsburgh during that era, but that sounds right. Yeah, it looks like I found a picture. It looks like he was in it.
Yeah, I thought so.
And Bobby Lamonti's in it too, it looks like.
Didn't I describe it pretty well? They look kind of like Motley Crue.
Yep, they definitely look like Motley Crue. Great look.
Hey, so now that we killed like 10 minutes of me trying to just remember that name, it's Science Fiction Idols, everybody.
Boom. You heard it here first.
If you could play with any internationally touring band, and yes, this is another generic one. What internationally touring band would you like to tour with, and what venue would you open your tour at?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Black Sabbath, Castle Donington.
Oh, did you say Black Sabbath?
Castle Donington. Hell yeah. That would be epic.
Did you see the Geezers has a new band?
Yeah, just today I just saw that.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, in my opinion, the greatest band of all time, Black Sabbath. Magically, they're all still alive, so we could pull it off.
Ozzy is 70 today.
Jesus. That's incredible. My dad's 70. I mean, that's insane that Ozzy's the same age as my dad. My dad's not nearly lived up the heart of life as Ozzy Osbourne. I think, you know, he's a younger 70 than Ozzy is what I'm trying to say.
Stasha's dad can still kill a bottle of Jack Daniels with me, though.
Yeah, and he has. Elliot's.
Ozzy comes up in my intro for the show.
Oh, perfect. Segway upon segue.
That's right. Paul Peterson from Big House Pete was here way back when, and he said, you know, there's something wrong with the world when Ozzy's fine and Michael J. Fox is messed up.
Yeah, that's
absolutely in the intro.
Yeah. What about you, Elliot?
I'm going to go with Iron Maiden.
Oh, yeah.
In Estadio Azteca in Mexico. Giant Mexico soccer City. State. Yep, Mexico City.
Yeah.
With Iron Maiden. Max Out opens up. Iron Maiden closed the show. Actually, no. Iron Maiden opens up for Max Out.
And then we make them fly us to the next gig.
And then, yeah.
Isn't that one of those soccer stadiums that holds like 200,000 people too?
Yeah, exactly. No, we're playing a soccer stadium.
Yeah.
We're filling it to the brim
with a giant PA, and we're going to beam it onto Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Iron Maiden has to pre-sell, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They got an 87,000.
100,000 tickets. Otherwise, they have to. It's out of pocket. Whatever they don't sell. Jabronis. So I don't even know who he is.
How do you guys feel about pay to play since that came up?
We don't do it. I mean, one of the bigger problems here is just there are a lot of promoters that's the only model that they run on. And the way we approach it is we typically just book our own thing, you know, and just avoid all that. It's not hard to book a show. Just do that, you know. I think a lot of bands have to have the light bulb gone over their head that what are the benefits of working with a promoter and what are they giving you that you can't do yourself? Like once you answer those, there's some fabulous promoters. It's not all of them, but the ones that require you to sell tickets to your grandma, I mean, that ain't going to happen, Jack.
You know what though? You know what the other thing is? There's some great tavern owners.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
You know, that's the thing that me and Stosh have a really good relationship with, is we've got a really good relationship with the club owners themselves.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a local band and you
book they like run through all 35 details with you. You get this giant printout. Every question you have is answered. Go talk to Frank and Renee at Kativo. I mean, just do it on your own. That's the way to do it.
Do it on your own. Have a good relationship with those people because they're the people who are like they're just trying to sell alcohol and you're just trying to sell music. Yep. You know, come together with those people and make it work. You know, you don't need a middleman.
I agree.
You know, I understand that in Pittsburgh, the venue situation, there aren't as many as you'd like to be, but the ones that are there, there's some really good people working there. And Sasha had a really great relationship with Bloomfield Bridge Tavern. Unfortunately, they're not around.
Yeah,
still have a great relationship with Kativo. We got some good relationships with some other venues as well, Excuses, and on and on and on. But, you know, just go from there.
Yeah.
See, you killed my venue question. You guys really did do a little bit of homework.
that was just off the cuff. I was listening mostly to the Bizarro questions because those are the ones that scared me.
Uh huh. They're coming. why don't you tell me about Steel-Toed Boots?
Sure. I wrote Steel-Toed Boots about it's pretty much a Paul Bunyan story about this guy that it's based loosely on somebody I went to actually to middle school with. And the whole idea of the song.
Wait, you went to school with Paul Bunyan?
Well, he's kind of. It'll all make sense in a bit. But we used to play lunchtime football at recess all the time like, you know, any good Midwestern boy does. You go out there and you tackle the crap out of everybody that you go to school with all day. You know, it was fantastic. And like we played on the backside of this hill, so if the recess monitor came by, we'd all yell out. We'd call out an audible where we'd turn it into two hand touch while she was around, but then once she left, we'd go back to bludgeoning each other and knocking each other's teeth loose. But there was one guy in particular, and that's the person who inspired Steel-Toed Boots. He would come to school and he wore steel-toe boots to middle school because after the day was done at middle school, he'd go work full-time doing both roofing and then being a fry cook later. So the dude was like, well, however old you are then, 14, and like working like full-time man hours, you know? And during recess, he'd put on those steel-toe boots and like they're not made for a person to be able to cut and sprint. Like they're made so that if you drop a cinder block on your foot, you don't lose
your toes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But we'd play tackle football with this guy and he would just bludgeon us. He'd just stomp a mud hole in us with those steel toe boots. He'd be running circles around us. He was the fastest guy. He was the strongest guy. He just killed us. And like, we're always like, dude, you know, you got to play football. You got to play football with, like, on the actual team because, like, you're phenomenal. And he's like, no, man, I, you know, I got to support my family. And the dude was like 14, 15, just working a full time job supporting his family. So, like, years later, I ran into him. Actually, I was hanging out at a, like, again, like every good Midwestern boy does. I was hanging outside a gas station trying to find somebody who'd buy beer for me. So I was 19 or 20, and this bearded man shows up, right? And I'm like, that guy will buy me beer. And I'm like, hey, buddy, can you buy me a case of High Life? And he goes, ha, 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 F you, Stosh. And at that moment, I realized it was him. It was him from the dude. I hadn't seen him in years. He looked like just a 35-year-old man, even though we're the same age. And, you know, I was asking him what he was up to and what he told me. And I just really liked it. I just thought it was a really poetic thing to say. He had these pit bulls that he'd go running with. And I'm like, and it's in Wisconsin. So it's like, you know, in the middle of winter, it's 20 below zero. And I'm like, how far do you run with the dogs in winter? You know, this is crazy. And he's like, I run until the wind catches up to me. And I'm just like, that's brilliant. I don't know what that means. That's the most awesome thing I've ever heard. So that just kind of that little chance meeting where I was trying to con one of my old classmates into buying me beer because I was a teenage delinquent stuck with me, and it turned into steel-toed boots, which is, you know, it's kind of like this, like almost like this apocalyptic figure just like running through the woods being chased by dogs, but he's like, you know, his feet are thundering the ground, you know, it's like all these giant epic things are happening as he's running around. And that's like, that song's basically the embodiment of the vision I get when this guy said, I run until the wind catches up to me. It was just like, just this epic, you know, view of this person. So that's the origin of that one.
We're going to take a short break. You guys are up for another segment, right?
Oh yeah. We're having okay. a great time.
So we're going to hear Steel-Toed Boots. I almost messed that up. Steel-Toed Boots. And I don't know who else I'm going to play, but I'm going to play at least two, maybe three songs, and we'll be back with Max Out. I'm definitely, man, Max Out. Let me try that again. Is. Max Out. See, it's your fault, though, because you told me you were maxing everything out, and you maxed this out. And you.
Yeah, I maxed out a cabinet. Yep. Yeah, that's what the claim ticket said, speaker cabinet, maxed out.
So this is episode 441 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Hey, it's Bill. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Stosh and Elliot from the band Max Out. And we talked a little bit about their band and where the name came from and who they would like to play with and you know, all the generic original radio interview type stuff. And now we're going to do the Bill interview type stuff that they think they're prepared for. And maybe they are. Hey, guys. So right before we left to hear Steel-Toed Boots, you said the word apocalyptic, and I said that that question's coming. Did you hear that question when you were listening to the show, or am I going to surprise you?
You're going to surprise us, but
okay.
I love the apocalypse, so I'm excited.
Okay, so an apocalypse happens on Earth, and a few hundred people survive to carry on and repopulate the Earth.
Elliot Pollock being one of those people, he'd take vast amounts of pleasure in repopulating the Earth.
And along that vein, they're only able to keep one song from every band from past history. Which Max Out song would you want them to carry on?
It's all yours, Elliot.
The radio hit Chasing Ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm passing on.
We got it cut. It's gonna be on our forthcoming album. Really excited about it. But what has to happen is the apocalypse has to occur in about 6 months when we get this album out. So, you know, as soon as we get this album out, the apocalypse can come and wipe out all humanity except for Elliot, who's got to repopulate everybody.
You know, it's my job. I'm not doing it because I want to do it. I'm doing it because I have to do it.
He cares about humankind. He does.
Yeah, you know, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you guys.
He's not doing it for just his libido. I'm like, actually, you know what? I take that. Everything he's ever done in his life has been for his libido.
Including the tracksuit, right?
Exactly. It's the only reason why he's the lead singer in this band. It's just one raging libido up there on stage, writhing around.
All right, so I meant to ask this earlier. So you guys were in Wisconsin, and that's where the band started. What brought you to Pittsburgh?
Love, in my case. I married a girl from Pittsburgh, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it seems like if you meet a girl from Pittsburgh, you just end up living in Pittsburgh after, you know, a minute or two. So that's the connection.
She brought you back.
She did. She did. And I've been captive here ever since.
So that first time you went to a wedding and the table was full of cookies.
Oh, it's fantastic. The Buckeyes are what I like. Those are so good. The chocolate and peanut butter balls. They're just amazing. I wasn't familiar with that at all. And, but I grew to enjoy that quite immensely. I enjoy going to weddings around here and eating my body weight in cookies. Just, you know, it's great. It's my version of Elliot's raging libido. Yeah, Elliot, you probably haven't been to a Pittsburgh wedding, but there'll at least be like 3 or 4 tables, possibly more, full of cookies. And my wife's extended family is a big Italian family, you know? So like every single cousin, you know, every single distant cousin, every third, fourth, fifth cousin, they all bake cookies. So you go to these and it's like, you're basically like Scrooge McDuck swimming through a pool of cookies. And it's all different types and varieties. It's not just like chocolate chip cookies. They'll have the Buckeyes, like I mentioned before. Just like everything you could possibly imagine.
Magic cookies?
Yeah, there's a lot of magic cookies.
Thumbprints.
A lot of thumbprints.
What are the peanut butter ones with the Hershey Kiss on it? I can never remember what those are called. Those are always there, though.
Yeah. You just can't go wrong. It's like a cookie buffet.
But anyway, see, I told you it'll go off on tangents.
So when the apocalypse comes, we'll have a raging Elliot Pollock libido, chasing ghosts, and a cookie table, and we'll be set. Humanity will be saved. We're good.
So, Elliot, what brought you to Pittsburgh?
I don't live in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I live in the city of Detroit, and we practice over the internet using an app called Jam Kazam, which keeps us on beat. So I'm over here in my tracksuit, sitting on the couch with my interface and my microphone. They're down in a basement somewhere in Pittsburgh, piping the tunes to me, and I'm piping the vocals back to them. And that's how we do our thing. I drive out for shows, so that's how we roll.
All right, so I'm going to work something out for you here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you and Stosh, you need to get Max out booked at a wedding so that he can experience the cookies.
You're right, I do. Maybe we should just crash a wedding. We'll play a game.
Oh, that sounds even better.
Yeah. Hey, it's your cousin Eddie and Elliot. We'll just show up and eat all the cookies and leave. We'll max those cookies out.
There you go.
Yeah, no, we're crashing a wedding. We're going to crash a wedding.
We will.
We're going to crash a wedding, steal all the cookies, and spike the punch.
If we played a max out song backwards.
Okay. So what it's like to be young Elliot Pollock.
So what is that like?
just I guess the world unapocalypting itself.
Yeah.
Every song just like being the opposite of a crescendo, just peacefully ending.
The planet in slow motion. Imagine you driving across a long desert highway. Everything in slow motion. You looking at the sun. The sun looking back at you. You've got some Ray-Bans on. You're drinking a cherry Coke that you got from Taco Bell. And then you're like, damn, you know, I wish I would have gotten the Mountain Dew. And that turns into like an hour-long conversation with your mother. Over the cell phone. Because you're wearing headphones talking to your cell phone to your mom while driving to Las Vegas. And then you drive back because, you know, I mean, you're up for that long.
Ooh, yeah. Probably some beef sticks and nitrous oxide involved.
Yeah, no, like, food whatsoever, down. Yeah.
You'd be slowing down in the muscle car, though, because it's playing backwards.
What kind of muscle car is it?
El Camino. Which I guess probably isn't a muscle car, but I don't care. It's got to be an El Camino.
So far, we really learned nothing about the band, but we have learned some interesting things about your brains.
It's psychoanalysis. I don't know. Playing the songs backwards. Yeah, I mean, it's just the apocalypse unoccurring. That's basically it every time.
All right, so if one of your songs could be on a movie soundtrack.
Ooh.
I love this.
This just popped into my head. This is not something I ever asked before.
Ooh.
What kind of movie would you like it to be in, and who would be the lead in that movie?
Action movie.
Vin Diesel, Fast and the Furious.
Part 300.
Yep.
Because then we get that franchise rights, man.
One of our new tracks.
Franchise.
Strongest Man Alive.
Yeah, Strongest Man Alive. Vin Diesel and The Rock just sweating Crisco on top of each other, beating each other up.
He's sweating Crisco?
Yeah, remember that scene where they're like fighting each other and they're both this like greased up to the heavens? And it's like so hilariously edited because like Vin Diesel's so clearly smaller than The Rock. It's like there'd be a scene where their heads would be in the same shot and it's like The Rock's head was just engulfing Vin Diesel's, but then they got to pretend like Vin Diesel's the same size, even though he's like 4'2".
Yeah, because The Rock's like, what, 6'2"? Yeah, so that means Vin Diesel's
I mean, yeah, he played professional football. Or I guess
he did.
Almost professional.
He played at Miami, which is good enough. I mean, you might as well be professional at that point.
Right, with Ray Lewis and Warren Sapp. I mean... So, yeah, action movie.
I'd like to interview him one day.
The Rock? Yeah, that'd be awesome. Talk about a just insane life. I bet he's a Max Out fan.
We should make sure he becomes one.
We will.
We will, right after.
So when I call him and he takes my call, we'll get his address so we can send him a disc.
You'll be like, ha, he said yes. I'm like, you Joker Shecky.
I was trying to get Joe Grushacki to play a benefit concert
Oh.
He wasn't available that night.
Gotcha. Well, that actually might have been legit then. At least it wasn't just, no, no period, it was, send.
The concert did go on. I can't remember what year that was, though. So I can't even tell you who ended up playing it. But anyway.
Stosh, you got a movie? You got another movie?
I mean, I totally agree. Action movie. I'm fine with Vin Diesel and The Rock. I mean, I'd probably kick a little 90s school and go with, like, Van Damme or Seagal, because that'd be hilarious, but that's just my own dementia. Maybe the Barbarian Brothers.
Seagal, have you... Look him up. See what
he looks terrible. Yeah. It's all straight to Netflix movies where, like, his hairline is...
straight to Hometown Buffet.
Yeah, his hairline is, like, a joke. It's, like, this pointy pyramid on top of his head that's like just clearly synthetic fabric that they just glued to his head.
I don't know that they I keep going, okay, what have we learned about Max out so far? We've learned that you met him in Wisconsin, one of you's in Pittsburgh, one of you is in Detroit.
Well, I'll cut some real stuff. Okay. We're playing Kissburg. We're playing, our next show is January 26th at Howlers. Beautiful Bloomfield, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's a great venue. We're actually really excited about that because we're giant Kiss fans, as you know, our stories have probably shown. But beyond that,
I actually just sent the link to that event to my wife tonight.
Oh, nice.
She didn't respond.
Oh, hurry, really, you gonna come?
She didn't respond.
Oh. I mean, the other bands on the bill are all just fantastic. You got 13 Saints, Royal Honey, The Cheats, Molecule Party, and Johnny and the Razorblades. I mean, those are some real heavy hitters in the Pittsburgh rock scene. So it's going to be just...
The Cheats, the lead singer, is he owns a tattoo parlor, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I can't think of his name, but I remembered that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be just... It's going to be awesome. Every time they play, they bring like their own... giant crowd too, so that'll be pretty cool.
So, what day is that?
January 26th. It's a Saturday at Howlers. It's called Kissburg.
Great venue.
Yeah,
I've been to Howlers one time.
Oh yeah,
and the chair I sat on had a broken leg.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, you can use it as a weapon. I was there for last New Year's, and they had free kielbasa, so I'm like, I'm just never going to leave, man. My name's Stosh, for God's sakes. You give me free kielbasa, you're going to have a hard time kicking me out. That's for sure.
That's my introduction to that place was, I was standing out front. I was there with, I guess they were hybrid at the time. It's After the Fall.
Okay.
And another band called Big With Seed. I was doing both their websites at the time. So I knew both bands, and I'm standing outside waiting for them to show up because I came from work, and this guy walks up to me and starts talking to me, and he's telling me about getting stabbed where I was standing.
Oh, nice.
I was like, okay.
Well, I can't guarantee you that you people out there in podcast world are going to meet the guy who came up and tried to stab Bill, who talked about being stabbed to Bill. Yeah. But you'll have a great time. I don't know if there's going to be free kielbasa or not. But if there isn't, just come over to Elliot's Super 8 motel room. He'll be making a free kielbasa for you.
Kielbasa soup.
Yep.
Dill soup. We're going to Polish it up with them there.
Yep. Some galumpki.
We're going to have some poskies.
Some Polish hand grenades. Some galumpki.
Polish hand grenades.
That's where it's at. I make a mean galumpki.
I want you to tell me one thing you love about the Pittsburgh scene and one thing you hate.
We kind of covered it before for my hate. My love is, it's the people who are really passionate about like the specific genres out there. It's nice that there's this crew of people that exist that are really into it. Like, we're kind of in the rock stream, you know? Mm-hmm. And once you play enough rock shows around here, there is this circle of passionate rock fans that come to all the shows. You see them every weekend. It's great. They're all just real nice people, you know. In terms of the things I don't like, as we were alluding to before, there's just too many promoters that do the pay-to-play scheme and, you know, are a little unscrupulous. And it's just a shame that people, other bands fall into those traps. You don't grow a following by trying to get all your relatives put to buy, you know, 25 tickets.
They don't come.
No, they don't. Like, the whole secret is you got to get into the, you know, the actual hardcore fans, and then you kind of branch out from there. I mean, the way I always looked at it is the first hurdles, you really got to appeal to other musicians, because the musicians are usually the hardcore fans too. You know, you get to that point and then you kind of move on to the next circle of people who love being in the scene. And then, you know, you keep expanding outward from there. And the way to do it isn't to go out and play a show where you got to sell 25 tickets, $10 a pop. Otherwise it's out of your pocket with four other bands that are doing the same thing. Because again, you're just going to be playing to everybody's salty uncle or, you know, whoever else got forced to the gig. So that's what I don't like about it. I just think that bands in general just really need to start taking the reins more and just taking on the risk. The risk of booking their own shows. It's just really the only way you can do it.
What do you think, Elliot?
I totally agree on the negative, but the positive, absolutely. I would tell all the bands out there, you know, don't spend your money on pay to plays, man. Spend your money on focusing in on, your guys' image. That's important. You know, focus in on your marketing, focus in on your music, most importantly, and focus in on becoming a good musician. Cause that's what it's all about. Play your shows, learn from your mistakes, and keep growing. You know, that's what I would tell people, man. Don't be focusing on the negativity, man. Focus on the positivity.
So here's another question for you. So what has been your worst experience at a show? Since you guys told me that you could cover that embarrassing moment, we're gonna up the ante.
Okay, so not the most embarrassing, but just the worst.
Yes.
God.
This one's hard to answer without just like throwing
I know
us or incriminating. I got a good story that wasn't a Max Out show, but it was a pretty bizarre night. We're playing this place in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, which is an armpit in the middle of a field. And it was this roadhouse saloon. And they were doing this thing where if you showed that you went to like the local, they had like a semi-professional like race car dirt track thing event going on. And if you showed up with that armband on, you'd get like dollar PBRs. So everybody was just housed. We got there and everybody's just blotto. And we're playing our gig outside. And there's this giant dirt mound next to the stage because like they've done some landscaping, probably burying the dead bodies of everybody who just got alcohol poisoning the last weekend. And because it was the armpit of Beaver Dam, like everybody brought their entire family to this bar. It wasn't just like, you know, the middle-aged drunks. It was ma, pa, all the way down to the little kids. So these little kids were fighting. They're playing King of the Hill while we're playing. And this guy, like the little kids were pushing each other. There's a break in the music. And there's this little kid who'd like yell the swear word at another little kid. And for whatever reason, this just set off this guy who went stomping up the hill, holding a giant log and like threatening to throw it at the kid. And he was just yelling at him. And I'm like, must be his dad or his uncle or somebody, right? It has to be related. Because otherwise, why would he discipline this kid like so over the top? Like, this is insane. It made me uncomfortable, but like, I figured there was at least a tie. But turns out that was just some rando. And we're playing our next song. Turn our head. The little kid goes running inside the bar. The door to the bar opens. And he's brought out like his entire extended family. And it was like, it was like Russian nesting dolls of just giant, scarier looking mofos, every single one of them. Like the first guy comes out with one eyeball, two teeth. The next guy is 6 feet tall with one eyeball and two teeth. eventually it gets to this guy who's wearing just a leather vest and a very angry look on his face. And the dude was honestly like 6'7", 6'8". He had to duck to get out of the door. And like, they all go to confront the guy. And while that's occurring, like, it turned into mass pandemonium and like the entire outside bar was threatening to fight. And while that was occurring, we're like, we stopped playing and we started standing in front of our gear because we just figured someone was going to get body slammed through it. And we all noticed that the guy who like disciplined the little kid was running away into the parking lot with nobody noticing that he'd left as this like massive brawl started to just occur right in front of us. So like, that was a pretty bad moment because I thought we were going to get killed and like someone was going to come crashing into my gear. And luckily it didn't. That night ended with the owner of the bar dancing on a picnic table to our music and falling off the picnic table and concussing himself unconscious. And so we had to beg his wife to pay us because he had the money in his pocket and he was just unconscious and on the ground. And that was the last time we ever played that place. But that was the worst experience. I thought I was going to see someone die. We almost didn't get paid. It was an entire bar brawl with like every drunken person in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, just punching each other's set great uncle in front of us.
Where can my listeners get a copy of the EP?
Oh, man. Go to our website, maxoutband.com. Check it out on Bandcamp. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. We're all out there. I mean, we live in a time when...
Howlers.
Yeah, go see us at Howlers. We're going to do two Kiss songs. One of them's dedicated to Bill. It's his favorite Kiss song.
Wait, which Kiss song are you playing?
Well, if we tell you, then we got to keep it a secret so you come out.
I'm trying to figure out how you know what my favorite Kiss song is.
Well, we don't, but I just made that up. It's a song.
I bet you're not playing it either.
Is your favorite Kiss song a Gene song?
It is.
We're probably playing it.
I think we're playing it. Is it obscure or is it one of like the well-known songs?
Are you playing God of Thunder?
Damn right we are.
See, now I got to figure out how to convince my wife that we're going.
Is that your favorite song?
Yes, I love God of Thunder.
We're playing God of Thunder.
Bill, do you know how long I've been practicing Breathing Fire?
I am the Lord of the Wasteland.
I bought a full 2 feet of 151 just so I could breathe fire on stage. And really so I could get drunk every day this week.
You're going to breathe fire on stage?
I'm going to breathe fire on stage.
Oh, nice. At Howlers. Actually, yeah. Be careful. There's a bunch of t-shirts stapled to the ceiling. You don't want to catch those on fire.
We better be on last. That's all I know.
Well, since half the cat's out of the bag, we're playing God of Thunder and Black Diamond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Some classics.
And maybe Lick It Up. But you never know.
Okay, so with that thought, this has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 441 with Max Out. It'll be interesting to see what stays and what goes when I get into the cutting room.
Make us sound good. Make us sound smart.
Make sure you tune in each and every week. And if you give me a second, I'll even tell you who's next. If you go to parockshow.com, you can listen to quite a few of the episodes. I think it goes back to number 289. We're on 441. So almost 200 episodes are available. Next week is Storm Dragon. We'll follow that up with Zom on December 21st. Wicked Earth on the 28th. Shy Kennedy.
Oh, nice.
On the 4th of January. After Shy, we have Jake the Hawk on January 11th.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
And Nine Stitch Method on the 18th. And after that, I'm open for booking. So if you want to be on the show, you can email me at bill@parockshow.com. And, if you fill out the form to get your music played, coincidentally, it will also be played on buildthescene.com, so you can get lots of airtime out of this.